dog and his name's King. I told the dog about everything. There in my truck, the dog and I. One day, the King up and died. Then I thought about the times we had. Once I kicked him when he was bad. Old King sure meant a lot to me, but a hound dog is his to read. King went running after deer, wasn't scared of jumping off the truck in high gear. King went a sniffing and he would go, was the best old hound dog I ever did know. That old King was a friend of mine. Never knew a dog that was half as mine. I find one.
Welcome.
You never
do. And you're listening to KBRT 94.7 right here in Davis, California. The name of the show is Imagining Yolo Davis. And it's a show about every week we talk to a different organization where they work to make our community a little healthier. And so many volunteers involved in this without pay that want to help. And there's a saying that someone said once, you know, you can vote once a year, but if you volunteer, you vote every day. So that's kind of a cool saying. So this week we have The Life of Kai, and we have in the studio Julie Cheng. So welcome, Julie.
Hello. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Well, welcome. And before we start, I wrote down or printed out your mission, and I'm going to read that.
Okay.
And then we can take it from there. So if you go to thelifeofkai.org, you'll see one of those pages is our mission. We know that our strength lies not only in the words we stand by, but most importantly, through our actions. It took us 8 years, but finally in 2021, we are ready to help homeless and pet dogs, and to seed and spread compassion in our communities. Kai was adopted from a high-kill shelter in 2012 and continues to be the inspiration for our work. That's a wonderful introduction. It really is.
Thank you.
So on your webpage, another dog was mentioned, and that is Yolo, but Yolo transferred into Kai. Is that right?
No.
Oh.
No, Yolo is actually... Yolo was one of the stray dog that was running amok in the Yolo bypass.
Right, right, yes.
Yeah. So I helped with, after Yolo was caught, I actually was working with Yolo. And later on, Yolo was adopted, and I don't know Yolo has a new name, but I don't know what his name is.
So how did this program start?
It started with Kai adoption in 2012.
Okay. And who adopted Kai?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All righty.
The story is it's quite interesting. But Life of Kai wasn't really created until 2021. So you're probably wondering what I was doing for those 9 years.
Yes,
so you,
exactly.
Yeah, you were reading eight, but now it's nine. It's no longer eight. So in 2012, I had two dogs, and I had no intention of adopting Kai, except that I was working with this rescue in Southern California.
Right.
The rescue reached out to me and said, hey, we are looking for foster, but we can't find them. But this puppy, Kai was only 6 months, they're going to put him down, and can you help us? And I said, yeah, what can I do? And I said, well, can you just adopt him temporarily, and then you can turn him back to us. And I was pretty naive, and I said, sure, I'll adopt him for you, and then I'll turn him back to you. So I adopted Kai, sight unseen, because I'm in Northern California. I made a phone call down to the shelter where he was, and I said, "Hi, I'm working with a rescue. Can I adopt this dog?" They said, "Sure." I'm like, "What?" Anyway, I adopted Kai. And right after I adopted Kai, they said, "Well, you know, the dog can't leave until he is neutered. So he has to go next door and get neutered." And I said, "Okay, that's fine." I try to contact the rescue. And after a few days, so I had to pay for boarding for Kai at the hospital.
Right. Oh.
And then I was able to talk to the rescue, and they said, "Well, we can't find a foster for Kai."
Yes.
And I said, "What are you going to do with Kai?"
Right.
And they said, "Well, we're going to have to return him back to the shelter."
Ooh.
And that, to me, it's just it's going to be a death sentence.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he's, you know, he got out just barely.
Right, right. Right.
And I don't know, do you know that shelter has a 3-day hole or a 5-day hole? Oh, you don't know what that is?
Yes, I do know what it is.
Okay.
And it's it just doesn't seem long enough, but I guess they get a lot of animals.
Right.
Yeah.
So he, the first time he was there, he got a 5-day hole, but now returning him, he'll get 0-day hole.
Oh.
So what to do?
Yeah. So it reminds me of a story. My daughter was student teaching in Arizona at an Indian reservation, and she fell in love with a dog and said, "Can I bring it home? I'll take care of it." And of course, after she graduated, she moved on and got a job at another city. And guess who ended up with the dog? You know, once you say you can hold the dog for a little bit, it becomes yours, right?
Right.
Yep. So how do dogs come to your attention?
Well, you probably wouldn't believe this, but I didn't grow up with dogs.
Okay.
So, I was formerly trained as a scientist.
Okay.
I have a degree in zoology and biology.
Okay.
So I have this sort of affinity toward living things.
Right.
Only because I think I respect them, and I just think that they I have the urge to protect animal just because.
Okay.
I'm not sure, you know, when you are a science major, you just have this sort of understanding of animals that you really want to protect them.
Okay.
And so that's how I start. But I did not really kind of migrate up toward dogs and things like that until I met Kai.
Okay.
But it's not just meeting Kai that kind of lead me into give me this wanting to work with dogs. It's Kai. And then 20 years ago, there's an explosion in science study with pets.
Right.
And so there's this new field of canine science. And so I felt I'm at the right spot at the right time.
Right.
That I can use my science background to help people understand, help me understand dogs, and then maybe helping people to understand dogs.
Oh, wonderful story, yeah. So Kino, in a sense, opened the door for you.
It's, yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, it changed my life completely.
Wow, isn't that something? Yeah, isn't that something? Okay, is there such a thing as a typical background to an abused or abandoned animal, or is it just all across the board? It's for this and that, and who knows how many reasons.
There's a lot of reason.
Yeah.
But I really think the main reason is that I think we don't have, we don't understand dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We have super high expectation of them.
Right.
You know, just about 30 years ago, we said that dogs don't feel pain. They feel pain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
They feel pain.
And both physical and mental.
Yes. And then we said, and we just now barely understand and prove that they have emotion.
Right.
But before that, we just thought we can do whatever.
I mean,
I mean, no other than, you know, here's my science background came out. No more than what we thought about laboratory rat.
Right, right.
Which is kind of sad.
Right. Well, and could part of that be because dogs, until relatively recent times, were work animals. They were outside. Right. They were farm animals. And so people didn't bond with them like we do today.
Right, right. You the know? Dog comes inside.
Yeah, today the dog is...
Yeah. It
sleeps there's on still, your bed. You know?
Yeah, there's still a lot of people who still kept the dog outside.
All right, right.
But more dogs are inside now.
Yeah, amazing.
They share our lives with us. Yeah. And they have an incredible impact on us.
Okay. So that's the background. Your group, how is it funded?
Well, Life of Kai was created in 2021, so we are barely 2 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So one of the program with Life of Kai is the income come from the behavior service that I provide for private clients.
Okay.
So all that income goes into making Life of Kai tick.
Okay.
So, but I'm hoping that as the programs are launched, but I think that as we become more visible within the community,
right,
that we would start to have to see some kind of donation.
Right. So, on your website, which, by the way, is very nice. I mean, there's a lot to see there, a lot to learn. No, it's not too much. You can spend a lot of time on there and learn. But you're affiliated with quite a few national, international associations.
I do. To start off, I'm with the Maddie Fund.
Uh-huh.
Which is a national organization, and they are known for their work in raise awareness about shelter animal and raise animal welfare.
Right.
So they're huge. They are huge.
Yeah.
I'm also with HAAS. And HAAS is stand for Human Animal Support Services.
Okay.
And their goal is to move animals that are kept in a shelter into foster homes. So they actually want to have a more foster-centric community.
Okay.
And that's where I'm partnering with them so I can learn.
Yeah.
I wanna learn all there is about fostering, and the expert are there.
Right, right.
I'm also part of HART.
Yeah.
And it's the Human Alliance for Rescue Trainer.
Right.
So we are a group of about 30 trainers. We donate our time to rescue.
Wow.
So we have a commitment of working with four dogs.
Right.
Each dog received four sessions from us.
Okay.
And we can do more, but at least the minimum is that.
Okay. So you mentioned you also work with animals for a fee. What do you I might rephrase that. What do you teach the humans how to deal with the animals instead of dealing with the animal how to deal with the humans, right?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think that you hit it on the head is that it's more about helping the human understand what dog can and cannot do, you know, because we don't understand. Sometimes we push,
right,
and if the dogs don't respond favorably, we punish them,
right.
You know, so you're right. It's more about helping the human understanding.
Well, dogs are incredibly observant. Our dog Nick, who's gone now, but he was a rescue. And whenever Jeannie walked in the bathroom and applied some makeup, which she usually doesn't do except when we go out, we had a kennel where he sleeps, so the door was off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd just run in his kennel because he'd know we'd say, okay, kennel up, you know. And he was that observant that he would see that. Or if I were to pick up a garbage bag, he would know to run out exactly where I was going. I mean, they keep an eye on you.
They sure do.
A lot better than we keep an eye on them.
Yes. Yeah, I'm hoping that one day we pay as much attention to them than they are to us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. How do you recruit volunteers?
It's because this past year I'm the only person with the Life of Kai.
Okay.
So I network a lot.
Okay.
And so I had a chance to kind of do what we're doing today.
Right.
Talk to people about right. Life of Kai.
Right.
And it's resonated with a few people. So it's kind of organic.
Yeah.
Right? And people would say, hey, I want to help. I also have friends
right.
who said, hey, I want to help.
Right.
But just last year, I found this organization called Volunteer Match. And it's wonderful because what it is that it matches people who wants to volunteer with the nonprofit who needs volunteer.
Ah, okay.
And it's wonderful. And that's where
never heard of them before.
Yeah, I
are they located locally?
No, they're not located. They online.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that could be local.
Yeah.
Okay. We're halfway through, so we got to take a little station break now.
Okay.
You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. The name of the show is Imagining Yolo Davis. And we're talking today with Julie Cheng from an organization called The Life of Kai, which is primarily dedicated to working with dogs that have either been abandoned or, what's another word I can say besides abandoned or... neglected, abused,
right?
Yeah.
But I also work with pet dogs.
Okay, good. So that's the show, and we're going to go into our second half now. I was going to focus a little bit on your on the training for volunteers, but since you're just starting out, we won't go there. But I did want to ask you, if people want to contact you and have more questions, where do they go?
They can go to my website,
okay.
Life of Kai. That's thelifeofkai.org.
Okay.
Could always send me an email.
Yep.
From my website. My email is connect@thelifeofkai.org.
Okay.
Not very creative, isn't it?
But it's on your website, so that's all they need to know, right?
Right.
And do you do any social media at all, like Facebook,
I do,
Instagram?
I do. Okay. I have both. I have a Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
And my Facebook is facebook.com/lifeofkai.coach.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, yeah.
Interesting. So the first time I looked up your website, I had a lot of Life of Kai's before I got to yours.
Yes.
And Kai apparently was a very famous Hawaiian surfer.
Right.
And there's been a book about him, movies about him, a TV show about him.
Yes. No, I don't know about him, believe it or not, until after.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And when I picked Life of Kai and I said, oh.
Yeah.
So actually it's Life of Kai...
Right.
Compassion Connections.
Oh, okay.
So I am distinguished from the world famous surfing person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your website, and I've mentioned it earlier. Your website is so detailed. Can you just imagine a little bit going to your website? What are some things that might interest people to look at?
I think the right there on the homepage is the programs.
Okay.
So Life of Kai is actually, I think maybe a little bit too ambitious.
Yeah.
I have five program. And Life of Kai is actually mostly education.
Right.
So which most trainers, dog don't do is, and I like to have this program grow is the humane education,
right?
Where we work with kids,
right,
to teach them empathy and to teach them. So that's one program that we have. I have a program where I connected. So it's all about connection,
right?
So one program is for kids to connect it with pets,
right?
The other one is for me to connect it with rescue, so that I can. And mostly these are pro bono work. I provide free. Behavior service,
okay.
You know, to the, then I have another program where I provide books, free access of books to the public.
Okay.
And people can actually just take them, read them, bring them back.
Right.
Or take them and keep them if that's what they want. But it's the kind of book that I've been curated. Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of false information.
Anybody can write a book about a dog,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I kind of want to make sure that the books that the publics are reading is the kind of books that has science-based.
Right.
Science and evidence-based, because that's really important to me. And then the two last program I have is, of course, my training is one of the programs.
Right.
And then the last program is I hope to be able to grow the foster system that I have. Because I really want us... I want Davis maybe someday to be more foster centric.
Okay.
That we foster more. And we foster a lot already.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can definitely foster more.
So we are located maybe from where we're sitting right now, 3 miles from one of the most famous veterinarian training centers, hospital teaching center in the world.
Right.
Do you work with them at all, or do you touch base with them to? Whatever, I don't know.
I actually attend a lot of webinars. As a teaching hospital,
right.
They have that their curriculum to the public has a lot of of teaching. I mean, a lot of webinars that I think open to the public.
Okay,
and so I do, I last week I volunteered with. Seems like I do a lot of volunteers. I volunteer with this group called the Street Dog Coalition, and it's a 501c3 that provide free vet services to the unhoused.
Uh-huh.
And several of the vet who volunteer their time with this coalition is connected with UC Davis.
Ah, nice.
So that's
that's
the connection
that
I have.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you take in these dogs and you also train people to handle their dogs.
Yeah.
Can you give me a couple of success stories?
Yeah, I think one is Mama.
Mama.
She was abandoned in an orchard in Bakersfield.
Oh.
Yeah. And I worked with another rescue in Bakersfield, and it took them 7 months. The person who rescued her was Danny. It took Danny 7 months to actually befriend her.
Wow.
And I immediately loved it because and he was featured on the Dodo. I don't know if you know the Dodo.
No.
Oh, it's another organization that do a lot of media on dogs and stuff like that.
Okay.
So he was featured on the Dodo, and I watched him and I said, "Oh my gosh, who would take the time to befriend a stray dog for 7 months?"
So much patience.
Yeah, and. Of course, I love Danny right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he rescued the dogs, and then he actually put out a call to action or put out a plea.
Right.
She is totally frightened when he brought her in, and he couldn't do anything with
her.
And he was asking if there's any trainer out there that might be able to help.
Right.
So I answered the call with many, many more trainer who also did.
Right.
But Danny chose to work with me because I'm just as slow as he is.
Okay.
So we both sort of, we have this slow
learn
approach.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so wonderful thing about Mama is that, so I learned that because he befriend Mama.
Right.
After work, so he usually drive there in the evening and work with her. So that's why she's used to work with him in the evening. So that's why she wouldn't do anything in the daytime. So we switch. So I said, "Hey, why don't you work with her at nighttime?"
Wonderful.
And he did.
Yeah.
And I guess after a year and a half of working with her, he decided to keep her.
Wow.
So that's a happy ending.
Have you kept in touch with him?
Yes, yes,
I
do.
How long ago was this? that you that he started working with the dog? Is this
he got her, he rescued her in March 2020.
Oh, so it's going well then.
Yeah, it's going really well. Wonderful. It took a long time for, but he couldn't get her to go inside. So
yeah.
she lives outside. Because she lives out in an orchard outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And to bring her inside, it was too much of a shock.
Right, right.
So he has to have built this huge kennel for her outside. And he only see her at night because that's the only time that she's receptive to him.
Amazing. You know, a friend of mine has a daughter who has a horse, and the horses are very skittish.
Yes.
And this horse, whenever she has to take it to the vet, she takes 2 days to walk the horse to the trailer and then back and then a little further to the trailer and then further. It takes her 2 days until he finally goes into it.
I do that too.
With
wood
kennels
dogs.
And
yes.
Kennels, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
so
wood dogs. I do that too.
It's hard to believe, but we only have 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
We haven't even started yet. Isn't this awful?
Yeah.
My goodness. So why don't we finish up with you telling us again where people can go to get more information. And before we do that, I want to say there's so much information here. In 6 or 8 months, I'm going to have you back to finish
okay.
up, okay? All righty.
Sounds great.
So
yeah.
Tell us again the website.
The website is thelifeofkai.org.
Right.
Yes.
And let's see, you mentioned Facebook.
Yes, Facebook is, I think it's facebook.com/ lifeofkai.coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you picked a song to fade out with today.
Yeah.
And what is the name of that song?
It's Imagine.
Aha. Imagine by none other than John Lennon.
Yeah.
Here we go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Imagining Yolo Davis. We've been talking with Julie Chang of the organization called The Life of Kai. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
Trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything.